Hi, I'm Taylor Smurl, and I'm an experienced bartender.
And I'm Tommy Smurl. I'm an experienced drinker.
He's my dad, and together this is...
Neat! A weekly booze cast.
With history lessons, trivia, and a twist.
So pull up a stool to the bar and join us for the lowdown on your highball.
Well, hey, Dad.
Well, hey there, Tater.
I'm looking right at you.
I know. This is the first time we've gotten to do this and record live, actually live together.
That's nice, right?
Yeah, usually I'm looking in the phone there at you FaceTime while we're doing this, and now I get to have you right here with me.
Very nice.
I know. It makes it a lot easier, and it's easier not to interrupt people that way too.
That is true. I can see your, I can focus on your face.
When you sit there and go, ha, ha,
about, especially when there's like a little delay.
Yeah.
Like just a little bit of a delay.
You talk. No, that's right. You talk. No, you go. No, you were first. I let you go.
I still do kind of operate on a little bit of delay naturally, but that's not further impeded by technology.
Well, I operate on a big delay. Mine's further impeded from old age.
Oh, well, all right. So we're just on our natural delays right now. So,
but we are live from Smurl Studios.
So. Smurl Studios.
Yeah.
Yes. I hope everybody had a happy Halloween.
We did.
We
didn't go trick-or-treating.
No.
And nor did we have trick-or-treaters.
No. We ate candy.
We ate lots of candy.
We had a very small trick-or-treat in which you bought candy for all of us, and then we ate it.
That's right.
That was it.
And you made candy for me to drink.
Yes. Yes.
A candy drink.
We were in costume for part of it, so there's that too.
Yeah. That's right. We were in costume. We partied and had a good time, and we were surrounded by those that we liked and loved.
It was a very small three people. Riley was there for a minute.
Yeah. Riley came and went a little bit.
But yeah, hopefully you had a safe, socially distanced Halloween. And if you didn't catch our live stream, it was Halloween day. I'm sure there was a lot going on. But it is still up on our YouTube and will be in perpetuity. So check it out. It's a fun little live stream. You get to see Dad in a Batman costume.
A Batman and Joker. Don't tell him it was me. Maybe they'll think it was really Batman.
Oh, sorry. Batman was there. Not not millionaire playboy Tom Smurl.
Millionaire playboy?
I don't know.
Well, that's Bruce Wayne. He's the millionaire playboy.
Well, yeah, I know. I was trying to keep somebody's identity secret. I don't know.
Keep me secret.
Well, but yeah, we're out of spooky season. But I mean, then we've got the election going on, so I guess it's all still spooky. You'll be listening
to this
after
it's
over. Yeah.
There's no monsters or ghouls, but there is the election.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we went from spooky to scary.
Yeah. Looming disaster.
But that's the crazy thing is people listening to this, it'll be after the election. So our slight hopeful naivety will perhaps be lost.
This was the last hope, the last glimmer before the election.
Oh, that's
so
bad.
We'll either be snuffed out or we'll be dancing in the streets.
We'll see. There's no in between. I feel like that's true this election.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess maybe this is actually a really fitting episode, though, because we want to talk about one of the strongest, most ass-kicking beverages there are that you might need to get through the next couple of days. Hopefully not the next 4 years, but you never know.
You need a good stiff drink. This is one that'll do it for you.
This is it.
You won't forget it.
So we've talked, we've alluded to, we've mentioned Malort several times on the podcast, but this is going to be an all Malort, all podcast.
All Malort all the time.
All Malort all the time.
And I've got to admit that until you brought it up for the episode, I have never even heard of it. And I've been to Chicago, and nobody ever tried to introduce me to that.
Well, you either had people looking out for you or you weren't hanging up with cool enough people.
Yeah, that's
I don't
right.
know, somewhere in between. My first experience with Malort was I was working with a bartender from Chicago, and Malort, it's a liquor. We'll get into how it's made, but I was told it's like grapefruit and burning garbage, and it's got a finish that'll last an hour, and say goodbye to your taste buds, and like this intense introduction to Malort, which I will say, and I mean this was me with my palate almost a decade ago, I did find it disgusting when I first tried it. I didn't think it was as bad as they said it was, but I didn't. I did find it kind of off-putting. Now I think in more recent times, I've come to love it. Maybe that just happens, you know.
Well, I don't know, because from the description that you gave me, then the things that I've researched about it and the videos I've watched about it, and I know that I'm going to drink it for our video that you do on it, that I feel like crying just thinking about it, and I feel like I better eat my last meal before I do, because I may not ever want to eat again.
I mean, that is why I thought this one was good, for knowing that I was going to be home, and I could bring some Malort with me, so we could all see my dad's Malort face on camera for the first time. I'm very excited for that.
It just sounds like you're really drunk. It's like, man, I got Malort face last night.
I've gotten Malort face a few times, and that is definitely, you get drunk on Malort, you smell it in your pores the next day.
But you would have to, it's not an extremely strong beverage, so you would have to drink a lot of it. I don't think there's anybody tough enough to get drunk on Malort.
I know if you have tried. Perhaps me included. All right. But, you know, outside of we're going to get back to the myth of it, because honestly, that's kind of the most fascinating part of it. But I want to talk a bit about where it comes from. Just the history of Malort. What exactly is it? So Malort is a Swedish brandvin. Brandvin kind of translates loosely to burnt wine. It's just a distilled spirit, a neutral grain spirit. It can be from potatoes, from grain. There's like a traditional way of making it from wood cellulose. But these days it's potatoes or grain. And it can be kept clean, and so in that sense, it's just like a vodka. It's like Swedish vodka. Or it's more, the ways we know it more are infused with herbs and spices, and in those cases, they, like, get other specific names for them. Like aquavit. We've talked about aquavit before. Aquavit really is just a brandvin that's been infused, and with dill or, you know, like, wormwood, different flavors, and now it's aquavit. But yeah, it's, alcohol-wise, like Dad mentioned, it's only 60 to 75 proof, so it is a little lower. It's proof down. So after they get their clean distillate, they add a little bit more water than what we do in, like, standard spirits. In particular, just as aquavit is a subcategory of brandvin, this is the subcategory that Malort falls into is more traditionally considered Basque, which is just wormwood-specific spirits. Mm-hmm. So, and I mean, Malort is Swedish for wormwood, so it all makes sense. Nowadays, of course, Malort in America is synonymous with Chicago. Like, 90% of Malort is consumed in Cook County, stateside. So how did it get here?
How did it get here?
That's a great question.
You're the expert. Please tell us, pray tell.
Well, that is thanks to a man by the name of Carl Jepsen. Now, Carl Jepsen was born in Skåne, Sweden, and he immigrated to America sometime in the mid-1880s to, like, a heavily Swedish area of Chicago near, like, Clybourne and Division. So just where a lot of the Swedish immigrants settled together. He was a lifelong smoker. He was a fan of cigars. So he opened a little cigar shop, a little manufacturing shop. And he ran that throughout, like, the early 1900s. But around the 1920s, another business opportunity came up that he took advantage of. Now, what happened prominently, we're talking about alcohol in America in the 1920s.
I'll bet it's Prohibition again.
It's always Prohibition.
Prohibition either messed or launched everything up.
It really, I think before we started this podcast, my idea of Prohibition was just, oh, that was bad. And now when you learn about it, it's like, it was just transformative. It was good. It was bad. It was the death to some industries and the birth to others. It's really fascinating.
And it made people get very creative in their business dealings, too.
That's true. And I mean, specifically, like Jepsen had made a good move because at the time, you know, you could get these government contracts to continue to produce medicinal liquor, things people were familiar with, like medicinal whiskey. A lot of distilleries just shut down. But what Jepsen did is he went door to door and sold a spirit from his homeland. He made what he originally called Besk Brandvin, but that's Malort, and he sold it as a medical aid. And I mean, if you try it, you could believe it's purely medicinal.
Well, it was probably an old family recipe because they made it there, and families would make it of their own while they were back home in Sweden. And so he came over and made that over here.
Yeah. And it was probably just obscure enough that he could get away with it because, you know, it didn't taste. It's not like you could walk door to door and say, this is my medicinal bourbon. Like, everybody knows what bourbon is. Some people did get medicinal bourbon, you know,
right,
leases, but it was so, I think it was just off the beaten path enough that he'd get away with it, such to the point that it became like a staple in Chicago during this time. Like, he was known for his Malort. Like,
and instead of having to offer proof that it actually served a medicinal purpose, the proof was that when they drank it, they said, nobody's going to sit around and drink that for enjoyment. So it must be for medicine. And they did know that there are certain properties in the wormwood that's in it that does kill parasites in your stomach. So, and
that's actually true. Yeah.
Yeah. So there was that argument there. And once they tasted it, that they said, oh God, nobody's going to sit around and enjoy that.
The funny thing is that logic is still applied to spirits. Like, when we talk about, you know, you can buy like Angostura bitters in the supermarket.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, like, a shot of Angostura is slightly overproof. It's just as strong, like a little more so than like a shot of whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
But because we consider it so bitter that it's non-potable,
mm-hmm,
you can sell it in a grocery store. So I do think this might have been a case of, yeah, it's still the logic of non-potable spirits. That's fine. No one's going to get drunk on that. You're really underestimating what people will do to get drunk.
Well, it kind of reminds me of a story that happened, I think it was back in the 80s. Is Lysol came under fire because they found that, you know, hardcore alcoholics, homeless people and stuff like that were drinking Lysol because it has alcohol in it.
Mm.
And so the government charged the Lysol manufacturers with making Lysol taste so bad that nobody would drink it. So they went in and worked on it for about a year, and they finally came out and they said, look, have you ever tasted this? We can't make this taste any worse than it already does. If they'll drink this, they'll drink anything.
That's fascinating.
So finally, the government came back and said, you know what? You're right. If they'll drink this, they will drink anything. I don't know how you make this taste any worse.
I mean that, but that's a line. I like a lot of mouthwash. It's not foolproof, but right, it has a lot of alcohol in it. And, you know, it just casually says in the bottle, don't swallow it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's not... I guess it's, you just have to hope that people follow the recommended direction.
I would guess Lysol's an acquired taste.
Don't drink Lysol. I will say Malort, definitely better than Lysol. I haven't had Lysol, I guess. I can't really make that comparison, now that I say
you smelled it.
I have smelled it. I've cleaned with it many times.
If it tastes like it smells,
yeah,
then Malort's probably better.
I would think so. But yeah, so Malort gained popularity in this area during Prohibition, and then kind of... in preparation, like, everybody knew Prohibition was going to get repealed in, like, the 1930s. Everyone knew that was coming down the pipe. So a local distillery, DJ Beelzoff Products Company, they purchased the recipe of Malort from Jepson and began to produce it commercially, which made sense. You know, repeal day was going to happen. They were ready to go with commercially available Jepson's Malort. They first sold it in ceramic jugs, and then they upgraded to the far more stylish glass bottles with a single stem of wormwood inside. I wish I could have seen that version of Malort. At some point, it was judged too expensive to put wormwood right in there, so they got rid of that. But it was a particular favorite of George Brode, who was the eventual owner of the distillery, such that, like, he actually at some point sold the rest of the company but kept the Malort brand and formed the Malort-focused Carl Jepson Company in 1953. So that was just now the actual Carl Jepson passed 4 years prior.
Mm-hmm.
He sold his recipe, his personality and story lived on in the brand, but he had long been not associated with it anymore. But George Brode did honor him with the name of Jepson's Malort moving forward.
And he was a lawyer, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. He was an attorney. Just really liked Malort.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, every other product in our portfolio, I don't want to make that anymore. I just want to focus my efforts on Malort.
And for the most part, Jepson had never really advertised it.
Mm-hmm.
It was just word of mouth. People in Chicago knew, and that's probably why it was only consumed there, is because if you're only going by word of mouth, that word's only going to go so far.
Yeah.
So he sold that. Now, the lawyer's idea, though, when he obtained ownership of it, was he wanted to advertise more, But he did his advertising in a very unique manner by challenging people. It's like, you know, you got to be a real man to drink this. This is a real taste. Only real drinkers will like this. And he would even put on there, only 1 in 49 people will enjoy this beverage.
That's right.
Are you good enough to drink it? So it was a challenge. It was like in your face advertising.
And that kind of advertising was pretty much, that's the base of their brand image to today.
and in Chicago, that's a good place to do. I mean, the two places that I would go with that is Chicago or New York.
Yeah, I have to be honest, learning about the backstory of Malort in Chicago, I'm like, why doesn't New York have something like that? We should have a spirit that hates you.
Or that you hate yourself when you drink it.
Either way, yes. But yeah, no. I mean, I think the, the important thing that did was create the myth of Malort in Chicago. Because Malort kind of had a hard couple decades, you know, more into the modern era. Like, it was produced in Chicago until the 1970s. At that point, it was being produced by the Marisol Distillery, where Broad had set up production. Mm-hmm. So this distillery closed down. It was made in Kentucky for a little while, then Florida for a little while. And it didn't make its way back to Chicago at the CH Distillery until 2019. So very recently, it's back where it belongs, which is funny because when I was introduced to Malort, would have been like 2010, 2011. Like, that's when I heard of it as a fabled Chicago spirit. So it's just now made it back to Chicago, but it has always been considered a Chicago spirit. Like,
well, it's like you said, 90% of it is consumed right there in the county where it's made.
Yeah. And I will say that we're talking specifically about Jepson's Malort. In sort of the void that Jepson's Malort left behind, a couple other local distilleries in Chicago popped up to make their own Malort. There was Leatherby and there was Few. They both made something called Malort until 2015. So slightly before Jepson's returned home to Chicago, they still managed to secure the trademark on the word Malort. So Leatherby had to change their name. They changed their product to the traditional Basque, which made sense because that's an old reference to the same liquid.
Mm-hmm.
Few, I think, got a bit more creative with it. They called their Malort Anguish and Regret. you know.
Which, if you've drank it, you know exactly why it's called that.
Descriptive. But yeah, but nowadays, the Malort label, the Jepson's Malort label, it has a very simple claim. It says it's full-bodied and aromatic. It's a bitter taste savored by two-fisted drinkers. But, you know, I kind of miss the previous description on the label, mm-hmm. which sort of gets back to that myth of the Malort, which is, this is the original label quote, which is, "Most first-time drinkers of Jepson Malort reject our liquor. Its strong, sharp taste is not for everyone. Our liquor is rugged and unrelenting, even brutal to the palate. During almost 60 years of American distribution, we found only 1 out of 49 men will drink Jepson's Malort. During the lifetime of our founder, Carl Jepson was apt to say, 'My Malort is produced for that unique group of drinkers who disdain light flavor or neutral spirits. It is not possible to forget our two-fisted liquor. The taste just lingers and lasts, seemingly forever. The first shot is hard to swallow. Persevere, make it past 2 shot glasses, and with the third, you could be ours. Dot, dot, dot. Forever.'"
That's a bold statement.
That's a lot.
And to make the claim, it's brutal on the palate. Oh, I want to try that.
You're just going to punch your tongue in its face. So, you know, now Malort, it's back in Chicago. It is beloved. It's still a small kind of a niche spirit. It mm-hmm. had, I think I read one article that said there are 2 employees. I don't know. Maybe slightly more, but it's a very small operation.
Well, that Broad, George Broad, when he died in 1999, and he left the company to the company secretary.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so the secretary took over running the plant from there. I thought that was an odd way to do it. But then due to financial considerations and low sales, they roughly only were selling about 1,000 cases a year, and the bottles were retailing for $20. So a couple of changes had to be made to the manufacturing, and that was when it was moved to Florida so they could keep it going. And then, like you say, in 2018, I think it was, they brought it back to Chicago.
Yeah, well, and they did have to do away with the single stem of wormwood, which is...
That was too expensive.
That sounds very expensive.
It's like no worms in the bottle.
No, well, wormwood is not worms.
No, I mean the worm in the tequila bottle.
I know. But, you know, but it is, I think it's worth noting that anyone that's like, oh, wormwood spirit, that sounds like something else I know. That sounds like absinthe. The funny thing about Malort is it is very similar to absinthe in its production. Absinthe starts with a grain neutral spirit. It is infused heavily with mainly wormwood. A lot of the claims I've seen of what's the difference between absinthe and Malort seem to center around the thujone, the psychedelic quality that absinthe supposedly has. But if you listen to our absinthe episode, which was from last Halloween, most absinthe produced doesn't have anywhere near a measurable amount of thujone available in it. So it's not the thujone that's different between it. And the other culprit is sort of just that Malort is made with particularly bitter wormwood, which I could believe. I do think palate-wise, Malort is a lot more bitter than absinthe, but I do think they're on the same scale. So I think it is kind of funny that absinthe is revered as this respectable, refined, like classy spirit, and Malort's kind of like, ha ha ha, it tastes like hot garbage. It's like, they're really similar though.
Well, they said that when they collect the wormwood, they collect it from certain mountainsides in Northern Europe, and usually only because it doesn't always get the same, you know, rain and sun and all that kind of stuff. So they said usually only 1 out of 4 years do they harvest what they need to make to their quality levels.
Well, and they apparently in the last couple of years, they announced that they had found a particularly bitter growth of wormwood.
Yeah,
so
they did say what you get now is much more bitter than the original recipe.
Yeah.
And the original recipe was a proprietary thing that they kept under wraps. And a lot of times they asked Carl Jepsen, said, well, why did you do this? He said no other liquors tasted like anything to him, and he wanted something he could taste. But he had... his tongue was ravaged from his cigar love.
Exactly.
He had smoked cigars for so long and so many, so aggressively, he actually couldn't taste much of anything. So this had to be strong for him to be able to taste it. And a lot of people said, you know, what he was tasting is probably not what the rest of us taste when we drink it.
That's always mystified me when I, all of us, well, not all, so many of the head chefs I've worked for in high-end restaurants are such chain smokers.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they have great palates, but I'm just also like, how?
How much better could their palate be, though? Because smoking distorts your taste buds.
You've got to dull down your palate just so you can focus on the rest of your life. And maybe the cigarettes are doing that. Don't smoke. not ever endorsing smoking. I suggest never smoking so you can taste the nice, soft subtleties and sweet floral liqueurs. But I guess if you don't have a much of a palate, try out some Malort because maybe it'll make you feel something. That's what we're all trying to do these days, right?
It'll make you feel something.
I just want to feel Malort.
Why did I just punch myself in the face?
Well, I think so. The fun thing, because it's such a small operation, they don't have an ad budget. But luckily, they have so many people that love their product that they get a lot of like fan generated ads, like ad campaigns, videos. Like they collected a lot of slogans from their fan base for Malort. I wrote down a few that I thought were kind of funny. We have, here's one for us. Malort, tonight's the night you fight your dad.
Yeah, I saw that.
So, we'll see about that. Let's see. Malort, turning taste buds into taste foes for generations. Malort, when you need to unfriend someone in person.
Drink Malort. It's easier than telling people you have nothing to live for.
Oh, no.
Malort, what soap washes its mouth out with? Malort, these pants aren't going to shit themselves.
Well, there it is.
But the one I like best, and this was the one that won their championship of phrases that they got. Malort, kick your mouth in the balls.
That accurately describes that, I think. Well, even like people that love it, you know, there are a lot of famous people that have a fondness for Malort, like John Hodgman.
He goes on stage for his routines, and he'll carry a bottle of Malort out with him.
Yeah.
And he'll take a drink, and he will pass it to the audience. And he'll say, here you go. Everybody take a shot of this.
Well,
and usually gets the bottle back, and it's still two-thirds full.
he described it. And this is a spirit he claims to love. He described it as tasting like pencil shavings and heartbreak.
Yeah.
Jason Sudeikis is apparently a fan, although is he a fan? Because he says it tastes like a burnt condom filled with gasoline. In fact, even the founder of the CH Distillery, the current home of Malort, described it as like taking a bite out of a grapefruit and then drinking a shot of gasoline. So, you know, if any of this appeals to you,
Joe Swanberg's 2013 film Drinking Buddies, they drank a shot of it and they said it's described as a Chicago tradition for erasing past mistakes.
Well, which gets into, because, you know, I think it's always good to talk about how you should drink a spirit. What are the classical ways? What are the modern ways? As we said, Jepson's company will say not to mix it. And as indirectly, they have said that to us. So don't mix Malort. I probably still will, but I know I'm not supposed to. So there's that. But I thought one way that I liked was something called the Chicago Handshake, which is just Malort and Old Style, which is the beer,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, I've heard that of Chicago Handshake reference before, but I never knew what it was. Mm-hmm. I thought it was like a Cleveland steamer, but I wasn't sure.
Is that like that's a gross sex thing?
I don't know. I heard that on Family Guy, but I never knew what that was.
Okay, anything you heard on Family Guy might not be right for you.
That's the closest I could you know relate to a Chicago Handshake.
Well, all right. I don't think that's a consumable good.
Oh,
I think that's non-potable.
Okay.
However, I think that a Chicago handshake sounds kind of nice. I think it both respects the spirit because, you know, you just have the shot on its own. And then, you chase it with a beer, maybe to cut that long, long finish a little bit. Now, its Swedish roots offer up a few simple applications. In Sweden, you would have a snap, which is similar like a schnapp in, like, word origin.
Like schnapps.
Yes. So just, and that just means you're just a well-chilled shot. You would just have a nice ice-cold shot of Malort. Or, likewise, since it is close to absinthe, you would have it with a sugar cube, just dripped over a sugar cube. So a very basic preparation. In modern bartending, I've seen it treated similarly as like a place of absinthe. So a small float on top, perhaps a rinse on a cocktail. If you're going to have a decent pour, you're probably going to drown it out with something a little bit more like something that meshes with it really well, but kind of competes with it, like grapefruit juice. So, I don't know, like bartending wise, I like to respect the spirit's intent and the fact that the people that run Jepson's Malort said, don't mix with it. Like, I'm not going to try that hard then.
He said that he's given it people before, bartenders that tried to make cocktails, and they described it as, it's like pushing yourself too far at the gym. And he said he then insists that they take the rest of the bottle home with them once they give up on trying to make a consumable cocktail with it.
It's just not going to happen. Take it home.
You try your best. You may think you're good, but this thing's going to defeat you.
Wrap it up. But I do, I mean, I wonder how much, and I get it, like, that is part of their ad campaign, that is part of the myth. I have met so many Chicago-specific bartenders that pride themselves on how gnarly Malort is, so I don't really want to take away from that. I don't really want to dissuade anyone from having fear about Malort, because I think it's important to its sales, and I want it to be a thing that's around forever. But I do think it's not that bad, y'all. It's really not.
Well, you know, they said you'd think that it's something that's kind of faded with time or something like that, but they sell, on average, what they say is 10,000 shots a night in Chicago.
Oh, I believe that.
That's a lot of shots.
And, you know, there are a lot of, you know, it's like in big cities, you find like post-ups like, oh, in New York, like there are Chicago bars in New York, just like there are Boston bars, and you can find Malort in New York in the Chicago bars, and that's where you go to drink it. When I was in New Orleans, we went to a bar that had Malort as like their house shot, and I loved that. But it definitely, it's beloved in the bar community. I think there was like the early days of the cocktail renaissance in America where it was all about Fernet, and nowadays maybe the more modern thing is I think the real bartender's handshake is if you happen to have a bottle of Malort on hand.
Well, I would say that the challenge of it is something that's appealing to me. I'm going to fall sucker to the writing on the bottle, because what I'd be willing to do is sit down there with the bottle across from somebody else that had never have it, and we each take turns doing shots until one or the other gives up. That's it. I can't take any more of this.
Which is, it is funny, because it is like, to me, when I mean, this is, once again, like going back to the first Malort I had was the Leatherby Malort, back when Leatherby was allowed to make Malort, mm-hmm. before they changed it to Besque. And the Leatherby Malort is overproof. It is slightly overproof. I'm not sure about the Few Malort, or Few, what is it? The regret and hatefulness. I forget. The
yeah.
Anguish and regret. There you go. But that was overproof. So I could at least get that with, like, oh, it's also going to get me drunker faster, like absinthe. But Jepson's Malort is slightly underproof, so it's not going to mess you up.
No, it'd take a while. You could drink quite a bit of it. If you could get past the taste,
yeah.
then you could drink quite a bit of it, yeah. and it wouldn't mess you up.
A night of Malort cocktails would mess you up less than a night of any other standard spirit.
That's right.
It's just the reputation. And it does have that finish. I mean, it does stay in your mouth for a while.
What's really weird is, you know, I watched a video, and it had people from all over the world try a shot of this. They'd never heard of it. You know, they're like, Malort? You know, what is it? And so they had people from, you know, all different countries, and they all tried a shot of it. And first was a facial reaction when they drank it. But then when they tried to describe it, I guess they tried to, you know, they asked them, how would you describe it? A lot of them, the first thing they said is, at first it tasted sweet, or it tasted like grapefruit. And they say there's a citrus type feel to it. But then it hits the back of your tongue and goes down, and it's the bitterness. And they say it's the most intense bitterness you will ever taste, and it doesn't go away. It's not like you could just grab your beer or your cocktail and take a drink and swig it down and it'll wash it out. Nope, it's still there, and it's still growing. And you see people like licking their shirt or licking a napkin or something, trying to get that taste out of their mouth, and it won't go away. It clings to you like an entity.
I just wonder how much of that is built up from the reputation. And like I said, like, I don't want to undo that, because more power to it. I think that's why it sells. But because really the comparison that I saw that I think feeds into that is, because it is very citrusy up front. It's very mm-hmm. like a bright grapefruit juice up front. Grapefruit is, to me, the overwhelming flavor. And then a lot of people have compared the bitterness to, it's like orange juice and toothpaste.
Yeah,
you know,
I've heard that.
But I don't. To me, it's more like if you bit into a grapefruit whole and you get a little bit of the pith, and you get a little bit of the skin and the oils and the sweet juice. Like mm-hmm. it's kind of. To me, it's a logical like expansion of flavor. It's just all, I don't know. But to me, it makes sense. To me, I like it. But I understand that between the myth of Malort and what's actually in the bottle, which is pretty bitter, it has earned its place, I think, as one of the most feared liquors in the world.
Well, I will say that out of those 12 people from different countries that tried it, about two of them said, oh, that was good. I'd drink that again. The other 10 were like, oh, that was awful. That was vile. And there was two guys that were from the UK, and they tried it. And the one said, I would rename it to Malorful.
Well, I have a hard time believing that's not your joke.
No, it wasn't. What did the guy say? I'll show you the video.
I believe you.
I haven't tasted it, so I haven't been inspired by its awfulness.
Well, I brought two kinds of Malort home. I have classic Jepson's Malort, and then I also got some Leatherby Besque, which we'll try both of them and see. I mean,
if one is more palatable than the other.
Yeah, I do want to make a cocktail with it, because that's what my job is on this show, but I also don't want the Jepson's Malort people to be mad at me. So sorry.
They want you to drink it in shots. That's the way they do it.
And I mean, I also understand that from a business standpoint, because in a cocktail, it is best used as like a quarter ounce, a rinse, a little mist, a little whisper of Malort on top. You just lean over the drink and say the word Malort. And then there we go. Like, that's how we use it when we cocktail with it.
Yeah. You don't really want to put 2 ounces in there, huh?
No. And it's not going to do their business any good. If you're like, oh, yeah, we love to use it as a whisper in the basement when we make a drink with it. Like, that's how far you have to be.
You know, there's some things that you might not know about Malort. It was even used to ease menstrual cramps. They would let women that worked on the production line drink it if they were suffering from such a problem. So supposedly it helped, I guess. The company ended up hiring a guy they nearly sued. There was a guy that was releasing his own commercials about Malort, and they were upset that this guy was gaining fame from using their product. And then they realized, oh, he's doing us a favor. He's making free commercials. So they actually ended up hiring him as their advertising director. It shares its name with everyone's favorite nuclear meltdown. That while Malort means wormwood in Swedish, the Russian translation of the word is Chernobyl, which is probably also apropos.
That's fair. Yeah, that fits. I guess if, join us on the video. I don't know. I feel like I'm talking like this is a broadcast from the end days, but you listening to this will have already gone through them. So,
well, probably yeah. It would only be correct for me to do this on election day itself. Drink this before we know the outcome, you know?
So just to get the full,
yeah.
So I'm going to make my dad drink some Malort on election day, I guess.
It might have to swallow that down distastefully, just like other things, just like the election outcome.
You know what? If someone told me the only liquor I was allowed to drink for the next four years was Malort, but I could have my presidential candidate win, I would take that. I would drink Malort for the rest of my life and only Malort.
I would take that too, but then I'd give up drinking.
You haven't tried it yet.
I know. I'm scared.
We're gonna see. I'm gonna try to make a cocktail worthy of Malort. You know what I'm gonna try to do? Actually, I've not. This is a first time thought. What I'm gonna try to do? Because I get. Like I said, I understand why they don't want it in cocktails. Because if you popularize using a rinse of a spirit in a drink, it's not gonna sell a lot of bottles. So I'm gonna make a cocktail with a significant pour of Malort. And I'm gonna make it work. I'm gonna do that. Yeah, but then you're also just going to drink it straight, so that'll be like a blessing.
That'll be like a blessing. That was one of the things that they said made it harder to drink than absinthe. It was absinthe. At least you're like getting a sugar cube in there or something.
Well, you can do that with Malort. We're not going to do that. I'm going to make you drink it straight. But
I know that's what everybody does. So that's what I'm planning on doing.
Well, that's what you're going to do.
They don't even put ice in it or anything.
No, it is chilled.
Oh, it's chilled?
Yeah. Well, not in Chicago, I bet, and not in American bartending.
I just saw them in shot glasses. It wasn't like it was in a nice cocktail glass with a couple of ice cubes, like, you know, some good bourbon or something that. It was just in the shot glass, and one of them was filling the shot glass all the way up. It's like, wait a minute, not so much.
the Swedish shot beer company, the shot is always very chilled, like be it Aquavit or Malort, Besk, Brandvin, some kind. It's very cold. But Aqua I mean, I Velvet. Guess if what you're saying is you want to make sure and have it room temperature, then yeah, we'll arrange that. I was going to chill it for you, but you're right. We want to have it the proper Chicago way, so we'll make sure it's warm.
Yeah, I want to do it like those Chicago guys. Then I'm going to go eat a deep dish.
There you go. A deep dish pizza and a shot of Malort.
There you go. And then I'm going to punch myself in the face.
Well, I think a lot of people might want to punch themselves in the face.
Just like the Bears fan and the Cubs fans. I'm going to punch myself in the face and I'll be a true Chicagoan.
Maybe we all are going to need a liquor that punches us in the face in the coming years. Hopefully not. Hopefully you're hearing this and like, man, why are y'all being so negative? We won that shit, but who knows? Malort will be there either way.
Well, there was the misleading results of the polls before the 2016 election.
Oh, I know.
So it causes everyone to have great unrest.
I bought a tiny bottle of real champagne for the 2016. I was going through like I will habitually do like a dry month here and there. And I was doing a dry month for the 2016 election. And I was like, I'll just buy a bottle of real champagne and I will drink it when we declare our first woman president. And when I realized things were turning the way they turned, I opened that little baby bottle of champagne, I downed it, and then I sprinted to the bar I worked at the time to be like, I can't be alone. And then I did about 5 tequila shots.
I thought you were going to say you poured it down the toilet or something.
No. I drank that champagne and said, yep, nope, not a good time to be sober. So I don't know. I don't think my liver could take 4 more years, but we'll see.
So it's about like the beginning of that American Horror Story that started off with that at the beginning of the election going the wrong way.
Yes, but the very liberal cast Sarah Paulson throwing bottles of rosé at her attacker. I'm like, okay, we get it. We get the metaphor. But no, hopefully you're listening to this and things are good and we have a reason to celebrate. And hey, you know what? I don't think Malort is just a punishing liquor. I think it's something you can drink in celebration because it's a cool spirit with a long history. It's distinct, even though it's a Swedish spirit, it also has a part of its personality that is distinctly American and distinctly
very
Chicago.
Yeah.
I love that.
I don't know that a drink could have caught on, like, other than New York. I don't think there's any place else that it could have caught on to this fame than Chicago.
I also love a spirit that it caught on because of Prohibition. That itself is, even though its origins aren't American, that is a distinctly, I think, you know, that kind of scrappiness of like, I gotta make something work. So this already tastes like medicine. I bet I can do this.
The guy was pretty smart.
He was. So thank you to Carl Jepsen. I would say we'd pour one out for you, but I could only sneak so much Malort on the plane, and we're gonna need to drink every last drop of that, I think.
That's right. So I get the proper dosage of it.
Yeah, exactly.
For the proper reaction.
Exactly. So yeah, if you would like to find us on Instagram, we are Neat Boozecast. On Twitter, we are also Neat Boozecast. If you'd like to email us, we are neattheboozecast@gmail.com. And we also have a Patreon. If you'd like to support us, in exchange for your dollars, you will get stickers, coasters, and our undying love. I have been Taylor Smurl.
I have been Tommy Smurl.
This has been
Neat.
That's the most on time it's ever going to be.
I know. We could see each other to say it together. And I'm going to get a Facebook page up soon.
Oh, yeah. That we're going to
Neat group.
So, yeah. Like to join that. Check us out. Talk to your neat buddies. Exchange Malort cocktail recipes after the end days.
Even if your buddies aren't neat.
Even if they're sloppy.